And we're back. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most-respected money show on radio. I'm Matt Hames here with Dr. Gene Hensler, Troy Harmon, and Charlie Holloway. All right, got another question from Stefan in Roswell. Real practical question here. How long should I keep my tax documents?
Well, I'm not an accountant, but I think it's 3 years, and they can't audit you after that.
Yeah. Well,
after the filing.
After the filing.
So if you take an extension, it goes to that point.
So after the year is closed, it's 3 years, but unless they suspect fraud.
Correct.
They can go back further if they think if they suspect fraud legitimately. So, but generally, the rule of thumb that that I know that we hear and tend to say is that once you've closed out on 3 years out, then that's all you need to hang on to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if it was just a small oversight, you know, and you made a charitable contribution error. I mean, if it's something minor, yeah.
Yeah, right.
After those 3 years, you're scot-free.
I think your big problem is underreporting income is, I don't care, whatever. People don't understand that on one side is you may not report it, but someone's maybe taking you as a tax deduction.
Right.
And they get audited, and all of a sudden, guess what?
That's right. Right.
You get audited, and all of a sudden say, well, it's after 3 years, and you say, whoa, you underreported income. That's a big no-no.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And give yourself maybe a couple years buffer. You know, some states have longer periods of time that they can go back and look.
Oh, really?
Because the federal, they got to give states an extra year of correspondence time between what they get from the federal government and what. So some states you may have 4 years.
Yeah, for them to match up with the state return.
Right. So you know, maybe probably the safe bet is four or 5 years,
yeah.
And then
okay.
then you're fine.
Makes sense to me. Okay, we got a question.
We do. We've actually got a question. Steve in Decatur sent this one to us this week, and I want to read his question specifically because it's a good one and a pretty straightforward answer. But let me just get this out here. Steve in Decatur, he said, one of my brokerage accounts is a joint account with my brother. The source of the funds years ago was a family inheritance plus some money added by each of us. The reporting Social Security number on the account is mine. My income is higher than my brother's, and the extra income is pushing me very close to having to pay the extra Medicare premium for incomes over $85,000,
okay, right.
Which would be some $480 per year extra. We currently take whatever taxes due on the account out of the account, so there's no issue as to who actually pays the taxes due. If I understand correctly, I could attribute half of the income to my brother via what's referred to as nominee. This seems rather complicated, and I'm not sure how capital gains, et cetera, would be handled. Or I could just place the account in a, quote, new account that's in a joint registration under his Social Security number. I gather that I would open another brokerage account, thus titled, and transfer the assets. So what are the issues with this plan?
Well, no, this is a great question, and Steve's comment about I could attribute half of the income is I should attribute
right.
half of the income. I mean, the simple answer is the correct way to handle this is that when you are adding up all the interest and dividends and capital gains would be, you know, considered the same. Any
right.
tax ramifications in this account, there's a nominee election, like Steve has noted in his question. So
he says it's complicated.
It.
Is it complicated?
No, it's not. And I mean, our tax software that we use for our clients here, that's an easy just click of a box, and then it just adds a negative and just nets it out and sends half to the other person. I mean, they have to report it.
And their Social Security
number. Their Social Security number. I don't know how all the online tax services, is it as easy to do it on those as it is what we use, but I'm sure I would imagine it ought to be. So no, it's not complicated, and that is the proper way to handle it. You know, his second question is, you know, could I just place it in the new joint account? I mean, now you're getting into kind of the tax avoidance world where, you know, no, that's not the right way to handle it. That's not what the IRS wants you to do. So don't go that route.
There you go.
Yeah, it's what we were saying. It's the difference between avoidance and evasion.
Yeah, what was that, Gene?
No, I said, well, the difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance is 5 years in Leavenworth.
Yeah, that's all.
Don't do it.
So there is a right way and a wrong way to approach that. So, all right, very good, very good. Well, Troy, let's get another one real quick here. And we had Donnie from Paulding emailed us in, said he was looking at both Boeing and Raytheon. I know you've recommended Boeing in the past, but I'm leaning toward Raytheon. I feel its market cap gives it room to grow. What else can you tell me about the company?
He's absolutely right. Boeing, we have held that in the past. There's actually a couple. Both are heavily involved in defense. Mm-hmm. Although Raytheon is much more heavily involved in defense than Boeing. Raytheon's revenue from government spending is 95.8%, while about 35% of Boeing's revenue comes from the government, and 65% is more just airlines and commercial uses for their airplanes. So one of the other things I wanted to touch on, he says market cap gives it room to grow. Mm-hmm. It's really not what we look at as far as growth is concerned. Yeah, it's a third the size, according to market cap, as Boeing. But in the end, it's more about earnings growth. The long-term growth expectation on Raytheon is a little better than 6.5%, while Boeing is expected to grow by a little better than 10%, almost 11. And if you look then at some of their, probably the most telling of their valuation indications, Boeing has a PE to growth ratio, so it's price divided by earnings divided by the growth expectation for next year. It's 1.7. We like to have that number as low as possible. Around 1 is pretty attractive.
Optimal.
Right, yeah. And Raytheon's is over 2. It's almost, you know, it's over 2.5, actually, 2.6. All things considered, current administration is more negative on giving more money to defense, and we don't believe the defense spending is going to grow nearly so fast as airlines, especially with cheap fuel.
Yeah, that's right. And the airlines are growing like crazy, especially in developing countries. And remember that Boeing has gone through the big, big capital investment and time and energy to build that new ship.
Right, yeah.
And now they're on the gravy train, so take advantage of it.
Yeah, you'd be better off with Boeing if the decision is here. Both of these companies meet our criteria for investment, by the way.
Good deal.
Boeing's the better of the two.
Absolutely.
Boeing between the two. Well, we're going to take one more break before we have our last segment here. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.